Good. All right, I want you to stand on your feet one more time. We're going to have the verse of the week. We're going to do the reference, the verse, and then the reference, all right? 1 John 4:3-4. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. 1 John 4:3-4. Thank you. You can be seated. As always, those cards are in the back as you exit the sanctuary this morning. All right, we're on the road with Paul, and we're working through Acts 13, 14, and 15 on his first missionary journey. We're right in the middle of his sermon. So good news and bad news, we're coming in halfway through. I could have tried to preach the way Paul preached, but I don't know if that would be too long of a message. So I took it and made it 2 weeks instead of one. But as you read this, your homework is to go back and read the whole thing and sit through one sitting of Paul's message, all right? So we're in Acts chapter 13. I want to take you, though, to Portland. We need to talk about Cracker Barrel. Oh, Cracker Barrel. It's during COVID or right after COVID, sometime in the middle of COVID, we'll say. We got tired of sitting at the house, and you got hankering something. You ever have a craving? Okay, great. So a craving would be like when you're hungry for something. I was hungry for sawmill gravy from Cracker Barrel. In heaven, sawmill gravy will be there to the glory of Jesus. Put that over country fried steak. Oh, just give me a minute. Oh, there it is. So we went to Jordan's Furniture, walked around there. We had to get out of the house. We were tired of looking at each other. I love my family, but you know what I mean. So we went to Jordan's Furniture, walked around, and went to Cracker Barrel. And we sit at Cracker Barrel, and we sat down. You ever been to Cracker Barrel? The first thing I do is reach for a little pin game where you pull the pins out. They took those out. I just might as well quit right here if it wasn't for the sawmill gravy. So we said, okay, so we sat around and we're talking at this table, a round table, and we're having family conversation, talking about what we saw at Jordan's Furniture, blah, 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 and we go on. Well, we end up ordering our meal, and the sawmill gravy comes out. It's all good. It's all good. And we have our meal, and we're sitting there, and everybody gets what they want, and it comes that awkward part of the meal. Where the waitress comes and gets the plates. Well, I say to her, could we have the bill? We're ready to go. And she says, oh, don't worry about it. Somebody paid for your meal. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. And they said they were just so, my words, not theirs, amazed that you would come and have a family meal and we saw you interact and that there weren't electronics involved and you have a young family. They just wanted to bless you as you sat around the table and had a meal together. Have a free meal. Have a great day. Took care of the tip and everything. Wow. That's pretty cool. What a great illustration for what we're going to talk about today. The bill has been paid in full by Jesus. Maybe this afternoon you can go get your cup of coffee at Tim Hortons and your donut between lunch and supper. And you ever have someone pay for it ahead of you? Hey, I'll take theirs. How big is their bill? I'll cover their bill. And you get up to the window and the girl or the guy at the window and they say, hey, it's been paid in full. What a great opportunity. What a great way to represent what Jesus has done for us. Let's do a really quick review. Don't forget about Cracker Barrel, A, because their sawmill gravy is really good, but B, because we're going to be back to that idea the bill is paid in full throughout the morning. We're on our road with Paul. We started in Antioch. We came across Cyprus. We zigzagged up and down, left and right, and there was revival. Sergius, the governor, became saved, and then we came off of Paphos, and we came up to Perga, and then things fell apart last week. By the way, I appreciate all the comments about the zero turn and the pictures you sent. I've ordered a new one. It will be here never. Anyway, we go to Perga. where things got off the road, things got off track. And then we went from Perga, where the gospel was not presented last week, and we went up to Antioch. I'm getting a lot of feedback up here. Can you help me? Thanks, Craig. We're up in Antioch, where Paul is in the middle of this longest sermon recorded in Scripture in Acts chapter 13. So we're here, and by now you're hopefully in Acts 13. We're going to start in verse 26. There is the fulfilled promise, all right? What I like to do is I like to go deep, and I like to pull back and make sure we don't lose perspective. I like to go for the little details and pull back and get the big picture. Don't forget where Paul is at. Paul is in the synagogue. He went there because he knows the audience, the Jewish men that have studied Scripture. They go there and they look at the Old Testament. They read parts of the prophets. They read parts of the Pentateuch or the Torah, the law. They study this all the time. Paul goes in there and says, you know this in your head, but unfortunately, in your heart, you have not applied it. You have missed the boat. So Paul comes and says, there is a fulfilled promise. He starts in verse 26, brethren. All right, so there's two. Why did I break it here? I broke it here for two reasons. First of all, because I could only cover so many verses in the allotted time. That's the practical side. The other side is when you look at Paul's sermon from what we covered last week, and then you look at it this week, there's a natural break. Paul re-engages his audience. Now, sometimes in a message, you fall in and out of, what's my word? Consciousness, maybe? And you fall asleep or you kind of zone out, and then you re-engage, you zone out, you re-engage, you zone out, you re-engage. Are you with me yet? Because I keep here. I see those yawns. That's okay. Come on back. It's what Paul's doing, all right? So he's taking the first half of the message, and he's talked about the Old Testament. Over here is the Old Testament. How everything from Genesis to Malachi was about Christ. It's about the promise that coming from God, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And then we ended last week with John the Baptist. Here's the middle. On this side is the New Testament. Now Paul picks up from the New Testament and he's going to show how Jesus' life points back to the Old Testament. This is the fulfilled promise of Scripture. So he says, hey, brethren, which is our way of saying, come on back to me, re-engage. Re-engage with me. Sons of Abraham's family, Jewish people. The line that can be taught for, or that can be traced from the Jews. And those among you who fear God, those are the Gentiles. He's going back to get his audience, and we've been talking about know your audience, know your audience, know your audience, know your audience. Brethren, those of you that are Jewish, those of you that fear God, come on back, and those among you who fear God, to us. Look at what he's done. The gospel, friends, is for everyone. The gospel's not just for certain people, certain tribes, certain language, certain nationalities. The gospel is for everyone. For God so loved the world. So let us not forget that the gospel is spread and taught to everyone, and it is for everyone. But then it's personal. He brings it down. So he takes this big idea of the gospel's this huge thing, and it is. It's for the world, but then it's personalized for you. See how he does that? Takes it big and then brings it small. Brethren, this crowd that's here, the sons of Abraham and those that fear God, to us, the message of this salvation has been sent. You guys have studied it over here in the Old Testament. You've seen it. It's now crossed over. It's here. Don't miss it. So then he goes into this whole message and talks about Jesus' trial and his death. What Jesus is, what Paul is doing, he's laying out the gospel. Remember, Paul was invited. He was stood up and they said, Paul, do you have a word of exhortation for us? Paul says, absolutely. You're going to give me the mic. I'll take it. I'll take it and go. So Paul presents the gospel. This is the gospel. If you are here and don't know Jesus, I'm going to introduce you to the man of Jesus Christ that came and paid everything for you. He came and he took your bill that you had to pay, and he says, I'll take that, and I've paid it in full. tip included. And if you do know Jesus, I want you to sit back and be refreshed and reminded of just the great amount of love that God has for each one of us. For those who live in Jerusalem, so he's saying, hey, if you lived in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets. If you take notes, I want you to put by verse 27. This is one of the saddest verses, I believe, in Scripture. Why would I say that? Because these guys that have studied the Old Testament, they know it in and out, left and right, up and down. They have a head knowledge of it. They've studied it. But you know what they haven't done? They haven't applied it to their heart. They haven't taken it and made it their own. He says, you did not recognize him. You've studied about him, and yet you cannot make that transition to say, this is about the promised Messiah. Christ is the promised Messiah. You didn't recognize him, nor the utterances of the prophets. You studied it, and you missed it. You missed it. How sad is it? The one thing I don't want to happen to any of you is that you miss the gospel this morning. He says, you missed it from the prophets, which you read every Sabbath. You come in here, you take your Bible, or we would say your scroll, you read through it, and yet you just blank out and you miss it. I don't want you to leave here without understanding, knowing, and I hope meeting the risen Savior. And though they found no grounds for Christ to crucify him, what did they do? They put him to death when they asked Pilate that he be executed. Jesus came to pay a debt that he did not owe, because you and I have a debt that I cannot pay. That's the gospel. You and I have racked up a bill that is so large that none of us can ever pay it. That is what Jesus has come to do. Paul is standing up in front of these Jewish men that have studied the scriptures. What's it say? Weekly, every Sabbath, you study this. And yet, they missed it. When they had carried out all that was written concerning him, there's a couple of truths I want to pull out. First of all, there are over 40. 40 is a very low number that I took from my studies just on prophecies of Christ, his death and his burial. Not his life, not his ministry, not his miracles, nothing else other than his death on the cross and his burial in the tomb. Well over 40 have been prophesied. And he says they carried them all out as was written concerning him. First of all, God was in control of the crucifixion of Christ. And when we see this and we understand that Jesus came, not because he had to, but because he wanted to, out of his great love for you and me, he came knowing what would happen. And yet, you know what he did? He still came. And those Jewish men that were sitting in the synagogue, they knew the fulfilled prophecies that were foretold in the Old Testament. Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. Psalm 22, the crucifixion of Christ. That was foretold. Jesus knew that, friend, and yet he still came to earth. When they had carried out all that was written concerning him, when they were finished, God knew that this was going to happen. And yet, out of God's great love for you and for me, he sent his only son to pay that debt. God is in control of this whole thing. He knew what was going on. He knew what was going to happen. When everything was done, not when man was done, when God was done, because he had foretold this in the Old Testament. And you can see, in my mind's eye, I can see those older men with their scroll going back to Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 going, oh, I understand. Because they know the Old Testament. They just don't know the New Testament, that it's pointing to Christ. They took him down from the cross and they laid him in the tomb. Verse number 30. The two greatest words in Scripture, but God. But God. Man had a plan, but God. We're going to crucify this guy because we want to. We're going to make false charges against him because we want to. We're going to do what we want to do because we want to. And God is sitting in heaven going, I told you this was all going to happen. But God. Friend, in your life, there's a but God. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. But God. Don't ever forget that in Scripture, there's a but God. If you're a highlighter, if you've got a paper Bible and there's a highlighter, you highlight that. Come see me in my office. I have yet to hang a plaque. It's two words on it. Do you know what those two words are? But God. But God. He has a plan. And it wasn't until he had everything fulfilled that Jesus Christ was placed into the tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who came up to him from Galilee. Jesus appeared to over 500 people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, Jesus appeared to me as well. Jesus just didn't come out of the tomb and then roll away and hide away. He came, he said, listen, I'm alive. I'm alive, and he proved the resurrection because that's what he did. For many days, he appeared to those who came up from Galilee, Jerusalem, the very ones who are now his witnesses to the people. You and I are the witness to what Christ has done. We are on mission to tell the greatest news ever told. The bill has been paid. What a great opportunity for that waitress to come, and she had that smirk on her face that she knew something that I didn't know. That makes me nervous, by the way. A little pet peeve of mine. When you know something I don't know, that makes me nervous. And when you got that little, I call it a Cheshire cat grin, hey, I know something. She came over and says, the bill's been paid in full. We get to now the opportunity to tell people, your bill has been paid in full. And we preach to you the good news. What's the good news? It's the gospel. What is the gospel? The good news of the promise made to the fathers. Look what Paul's doing. Step back with me, standing in the Jewish synagogue. These guys have been studying these promises from as early as Genesis 3:15. More importantly, to Abraham, Genesis 12:1 through 3 of land, seed, and promise. From that point till now, God has finally fulfilled the promise, and it's found in the person and the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's good news. And friend, let me tell you this morning, God is seldom early. But he's never late. And when we count and we read and we study the promises of God, may we remember God is seldom early, which means he never comes when I want to come. I want him to come like my Google search, instantaneously. I want those promises instantaneously, all the time. But God says, you know what? I want you to wait. But let me tell you something. If God said it, it's going to happen. God fulfills his promise. Paul stands up, Jewish synagogue. Good news! The promise has been fulfilled, and it's fulfilled in Christ. That he, God, has fulfilled his promise to his children. The Jewish people have been waiting thousands of years for this fulfilled promise. And Paul stands up and says, good news! The promise is here. It has been fulfilled. To our children that are raised up in Jesus, it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Paul stands up and says, we finally have victory. We finally have the promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want to ask you one question to two groups of people. The first one is, are you living in victory? This morning when you came in, we sang, did you get the theme in the morning? I raise a hallelujah. We have a lot to be thankful for. We sing about the victory. We were introduced to another song about victory. How can I have victory? I can have victory because Jesus has conquered sin and death. And I can stand up here, I can preach, I can sing. We can sing because Jesus has secured the victory. The bill has been paid in full. Are you living your life that your bill has been paid in full? Let me ask it a different way. Have you ever come to the spot in your life that you have said, Jesus, I can't pay the bill. I've got a huge list of debts, and my credit card has been declined. Because Jesus is over here standing and saying, my credit is good with the Father. He'll take my credit card. I can pay your bill. Have you been to that spot? Have you come to yourself and say, I need help? Jesus, will you pay my bill? If not, this day, this morning, can be the morning of your salvation where you say, Jesus, pay my bill. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, my bill has been paid, but you know what? I'm kind of losing perspective on things. The world is, well, friend, the world is the world. And we can get sidetracked. In my mind, I say, I live in an earthly perspective. And sometimes I look at all the chaos going on in life, and I forget to think, you know what? Jesus is still on the throne. And God is still good. And maybe you're coming here this morning going, I have victory over death because I know Jesus paid my bill, but I'm living my life in a perspective that I'm not really sure if I'm living victorious life. Are you living a life of victory? First of all, in your relationship with Christ. Second of all, are you living a life of victory in your eternal perspective? It's a great question Paul's asking, and I would ask it from you. So he comes back to the Old Testament. Paul's starting to wind down his message. But remember, his audience, they know the Old Testament. He wants to know and make sure they know the Old Testament points to the cross of Christ. And he says, as far as the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, Jesus is not dead. He is risen. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's worthless. He says, God, in verse 35, therefore, he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Jesus is not sitting in a tomb or laying in a tomb, rotting away. He is sitting in heaven at the right hand of the Father, alive and well. One commentator put it this way. He says, a dead Messiah is not a channel for the holy and sure blessings God promised to David and his descendants. Friends, we don't come here and sing Jesus is the victory because he's laying in the tomb. Jesus is victorious because he's conquered sin and death, and that allows me to have victory. The Old Testament prophets, they foretold this. The Jewish synagogue, they're sitting there going, we're waiting for it. Paul is saying, he's here. It's in Christ. He's the victory. For David, they love David. We all love David. King David, a man after God's own heart. We're going to start a series on King David in the new year. By the way, side note, come back for that. Come back for next week too, by the way. Don't take that the wrong way. Anyway, I should tell him to come back every week, Jerry, not just next year. For David, after he served the purpose of God in his own generation, David had a purpose. David had a goal. David was called by God. David fell asleep. I want to stop here. Make sure we understand what falling asleep is and what falling asleep is not. We do not believe in soul sleep. I don't want to be harsh or crass or disrespectful, but David is dead. But when the Bible says that he fell asleep, he died in the promises of God, that he knew that if God said it, David believed it, and it was going to happen. So when David died, he died knowing that God would resurrect him, because that's what the Old Testament prophets said. We do not believe in soul sleep. I look at it this way. I set my alarm last night to wake me up this morning so I would not oversleep. I went to bed last night in full intentions, knowing that I would wake up in the morning. David, when he died knowing that he would pass away, but that he would be resurrected with the promised Messiah. So when David died and was laid among his fathers, he underwent decay. They put him in a box. I don't even know if they put him in a box. Wrapped him up, and they put him in the ground, and then he decayed. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. His body deteriorated away. And the Old Testament or scholars of that day are saying, this is David. We love David. And they're saying, you know what? If David decayed, there's one who came that has not decayed. You know who that is? It's Jesus. Jesus has never decayed. He is resurrected, and he brings us the victory. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, through who? Jesus. Forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Paul stands up in the synagogue and says, it's not my will, it's not by my might that we have forgiveness of sins. It is through Jesus. I got out my wallet, was getting ready to pay the bill and say, I can't pay the bill. Jesus paid the bill. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast. Friends, Jesus came to offer forgiveness. Do you know what we have to do? Receive it. And he's standing in the synagogue with men that know scripture, and they're having this aha moment. I've studied it, I know it, but now I can apply it. Verse 39, and through him everyone who believes is freed from all things. Who the Son sets free, you will be free indeed. You want freedom? Come to Jesus. You want to get out of debt, spiritually speaking? Come to Christ. You ever been in a restaurant and you went to pay the bill and the person behind the counter, they return the card and they're embarrassed because they say, your credit card's been declined. Has that ever happened to you? It's embarrassing, trust me. You've been freed from all these things. Not because of what you've done. The law, the Old Testament points us and tells us, you cannot do it yourself. No matter how hard you try, you cannot do it yourself. And here comes Jesus and says, I've done it for you. The bill has been paid. Will you accept it? Paul says, therefore, take heed, so that the thing may be spoken of in the prophets may not come upon you. Listen, guys, listen. Learn. In a couple weeks, my parents are coming up. Their first visit at Cross Point. You're going to get to meet my parents. You can meet my dad. My dad, he has these sayings that at the time I thought they were weird, archaic. But now you know what I find myself doing? Saying them to my girls. I'm becoming my father. And my dad would sit in his chair, or we would be working, and there's many illustrations with my dad, and as time goes on, we'll continue to learn about him. But he had this saying, he said, Tom, a dumb man does not learn from his mistakes. A smart man learns from his mistakes, but a wise man learns from the other person's mistakes. Young Tom, who are you going to be today? Well, Dad, because you said this to me 8 billion times, apparently I'm not going to be wise because I have not learned from the other person's mistakes. What Paul is saying to the crowd is he's saying, learn from the prophets. Don't miss the Messiah. I would beg you, don't be so busy rushing out of here to get to the lake or do whatever you want to do and miss the Messiah. Don't miss Jesus. Don't miss what he's done. Paul says, "For behold, you scoffers and marvel and perish, for I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you would never believe." Your homework this afternoon, I'm going to assign you homework. Side note, I never check it, but I like to assign it. I'm not good of a teacher, by the way. I want you to go back through this sermon, grab a study Bible, and look at the number of Old Testament references that Paul alludes to as he's speaking to the audience. Why? Because his audience knows the Old Testament. So he goes back and he grabs this quote from the Old Testament. He says, "For I am accomplishing a work in your days." God is on the move. Remember Cyprus, this island? There's revival there. In Antioch, there's going to be revival. They're on the first missionary journey with Paul. What I don't want you to do, friend, is be so busy about life that you forget to watch God work. So the question I have for you is, how is God working in your life? What's he been doing in your life? How has he been encouraging you in your walk with Christ? How has he been stretching you, dare I say, disciplining you? How has he been moving in your life? Paul says, don't miss what God is doing. We get so busy in life, tunnel vision, I got to go to this, I got to do this, I got to do this, that we forget to step back and see what God is doing. So I'd ask you this morning, what is God doing in your life? How is he working in your life? That's how Paul finishes his message. But the people desire more in verses 42 and 43. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, so the church service is over. You've got that coming in about 5 minutes. We're going to dismiss church. Have a great day. Don't go yet. Have a great day. As the service is finished, as the reading is done, Paul and Barnabas were going out, and the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. What are they looking for? They're looking for the gospel. What are they looking for? They're looking for scripture to be taught. What are they looking for? They're looking for the word of God. Again, I come back to this. When I sit in my office and I study, you did not come here to hear a political speech. You didn't come here to get the latest breakdown of the football season coming, or the playoff push coming, or the weather coming, or whatever. What did you come to hear? The Word of God. Not Tom's opinion, not Tom's thoughts. You came to hear the Word of God. Look at their response. What's their response? Give me more. And I want that to encourage you as you share. Have you ever shared your faith and someone says, I'm just not interested? Yeah, we've all had that. Have you ever shared your faith and said someone said, boy, I'd like more of that. That's encouraging. That is exciting. They're coming saying, Paul, can you come back next week and share more? We've not heard this new application. I look at that and I see that is amazing. I look at that, but my heart breaks too, because they've sat in that synagogue for eons of times and they missed Jesus. But now they're coming over here saying, we've heard it, we want more of Jesus. Now, when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, you are dismissed, have a great day. Many of the Jews and the God-fearing proselytes, they followed Paul and Barnabas. Don't miss what's going on. They come to the service, and that's all well and good. It's important. But you know what's going on throughout the week? Ministry. This should be the catalyst for us to go out and minister. I'm going to read into this a little bit and be very careful as I do it. They are ministering throughout the week to the people that they have preached to. We do that in small groups. That's why for the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, you're going to hear a big push on small groups. This is important. But let's get out of the rows and let's get into circles and share life together on a Tuesday morning, on a Wednesday afternoon, on a Thursday night, on a Friday sometime. Share life together. Paul and Barnabas, they see that and they continue to speak to them. They minister outside of the synagogue throughout the week. And they were urging them to continue in the grace of God. Don't leave here with the message that you have heard in the seat. Leave here with the message of the gospel as you go out. And if it's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me to leave it with you. Am I walking in the grace of God? Don't just sit here and say, hey, that was okay message. Whatever, and leave. Take the message with you. Walk in the grace of God. Be changed by His word. Don't just be hearers of the word. The synagogue people, they were hearers of the word, but they lacked the application. Now they have the application of saying, give me more. Can you come back next week? Can I see you after the service? I have a couple questions. What a great opportunity. Paul and Barnabas turn to him and say, walk in the grace of God. What are those three questions? Those three questions. Am I living over victory of death? Friend, I can't tell you how urgent it is that you know Christ. If you don't know Christ, would you stay after and see me? I got Pastor Pencil. I got Pastor Adam. Colby's on my left over here. Don't leave here without making sure that you walk around saying, Jesus has paid my bill. Woohoo! That can be this morning. Don't leave here knowing Jesus has paid the bill and not walk out with a victorious, eternal perspective. The bill has been paid. I left Cracker Barrel pretty happy. And as silly as that sounds, don't miss it. I should walk out those doors even happier that my eternal debt has been paid. Don't be so busy to stop and look at what God's doing in your life. That's why it's so important to journal. Third one, when you leave here, walk in the grace of God. Leave here with the message with you. Don't leave it in the building. What do I want you to do? You and I have the opportunity to go out today and tell people the bill has been paid. Has your bill been paid? It's a great opportunity. Two ways and I'm done. These are free, by the way. You go to Tim Hortons this afternoon, you go tomorrow morning, whenever you want to go, and you pay for someone's coffee behind you. And then you know what you do? You drop them a track. Hey, I want to pay their bill, just like Jesus paid my bill. Oh, common ground, uncommon ground. And then you know what? You go back the next week and you keep paying $3 or $4 for for someone's coffee and a donut at Tim Hortons. You go and you go to the restaurant, you find a family, you pay their bill. And then you say to the server, I want to pay their bill, just like Jesus paid my bill. When you go give blood, if you give blood with the Red Cross, it's a great line, I've used it. It really throws them off their game. Why do you give blood? A blood donor saved my life. Really? Can I hear the story? Okay. Not going anywhere for a while. Friends, listen. Listen. The bill's been paid. Why would we not want to celebrate that and tell other people about that? Let's close in a word of prayer. Love to pray for you as your pastor. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come forward. But I don't want to miss an opportunity to pray for you. Is there anybody here this morning who would say, Tom, in my heart of hearts, I know Jesus has not paid my bill. I'm ready today for Jesus to pay my bill. Can I see you? Or I need to see a pastor in the back. Would you slip your hand up that I can pray for you this morning? Is there anybody here this morning? Is there anybody here this morning who says, would you pray for me because my bill has been paid in full, but my perspective is off? Would you pray that I would have an eternal perspective and not an earthly perspective? It's been a rough week. Would you pray for me? See that one hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Two hands. I see that. Thank you. Is there anybody here this morning who says, would you pray for me because I want God to work in my life and I need to slow down and be still and watch God work? Would you pray that I can take time this week to inventory, to see how God is on the move? See that one hand, thank you. Two hands, three hands, thank you. Four hands, thank you. Is there anybody here this morning who says, I want to leave in God's grace. I want to be changed by God's word. I don't want to be just a hearer, but be a doer as well. Would you pray for a good week for me that I can walk in God's grace? Anybody here? One, two, three, four hands. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We have just covered Paul's longest sermon recorded in Scripture. And it's good news. The bill has been paid. And we're so thankful for Jesus that we can come and have victory over sin and death because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. He took my bill that I could not pay and took his credit card and said, paid in full. And we leave here victorious. For those that have slipped their hand up, I pray that they may leave here with an eternal perspective and not an earthly perspective. The debt's been paid. Hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. Pray that we might be people that are slowing down to watch you work in our life, to continue to learn from the past so that we don't repeat those same mistakes. Lord, help us to walk out of here in your grace and in your truth. Lord, we're so thankful the bill has been paid. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.